Good morning. How has everyone's week been so far? Good. Are you guys ready for Christmas? 5 more days. Like, we have today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then bam, Christmas is here. How many of you guys are ready already for Christmas? You've already got everything bought, everything's ready. Couple of hands. How many of you guys will be ready by midnight on Christmas Eve? More people. That's what I kind of figured. I'm thankful that I don't really have to pick out much of anything because Amber does all the shopping, including hers. So it's like a surprise to me every year what her Christmas present is. Well, it's because, you know, like the first 2 years of marriage, I didn't, and I still don't, I'd be saying, you know, I haven't learned. But the first couple of years, I tried to pick her out things for Christmas, and, you know, they say you can't go wrong at Christmas. You can go wrong at Christmas. She didn't like the vacuum cleaner or, no, I'm kidding, I didn't really get her that. But the first couple of gifts, I thought they would be great. I don't even remember what they were, but it turned out to not be so great. And Amber's like, can I just buy my presents from now on? You bet. Have fun. So Amber takes care of that. So this week, because we are coming up on Christmas in just a few days, we're going to be looking at Jesus' birth. And I'm going to read the Christmas story to you guys, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. If you guys would turn to Luke chapter 1. And it's going to be up here on the screen, so if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We're gonna have it up there anyway. But before I get to the part that we're going to start, I just want to give you kind of a... I'm going to lead up from chapter 1. It's talking about, at first here, Zechariah and Elizabeth. This was a relative of Mary, and they were going to have a son. It was going to be John. An angel came to Zechariah, told him about it. He kind of chuckled a little bit because he was old and so was Elizabeth, and he didn't think it were possible for them to have another kid. So he ended up becoming mute. He couldn't speak until the birth of John, and then that happens a little bit later on. But leading up to that point, they had just been told that they, you know, all the different rules about John and things like that, and then that leads us to this part that's talking about Mary, who is Jesus' mother. I'm going to start on verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So you guys know a betrothed is kind of like engagement, but it's like a little bit more. Their parents kind of picked and it was chosen. They were going to get married. It wasn't like an engagement that they could call off for just any random reason. So, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But he was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in the womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So then Mary, she goes to visit Elizabeth. And whenever she goes there, John, which is John the Baptist, leapt in her womb, was excited whenever she arrived. And then she said some things. Mary said some things. And then John the Baptist was born. And Zechariah was able to speak again. And so he spoke out all this prophecy. And then that leads us up to Luke 2, where we're going to read about the birth of Jesus and what kind of happened there. So Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration with Quirinius, who was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region where shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away with them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been said to them. And at the end of 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So that is the Christmas story, and Jesus was the Christ. It wasn't Joseph Christ and Mary Christ and Jesus Christ. He was the Christ. He was the promised Messiah. So that is like the Christmas story of his birth, and it's pretty cool, right? To get to read that. I read it kind of boring on purpose because what happens sometimes with the Christmas story is we hear it year after year after year after year, and we just start to remember it. We know what's going to happen, and it can be kind of a boring, long story, right? But I want to try to present some new information into the story to see if we can be more excited about it for two reasons. One is that whenever I was in seminary class with Joey White, we were reading through the New Testament, and we get to this part, and we're reading, and he asked the seminary students, "So what do you guys think?" And it's like, "Yeah, that's the Jesus birth story." Yeah. We're supposed to be seminary students. We're supposed to be, digging deeper and all this stuff, but it's like, we've heard that, I'm nearly 23 years old now. There it was. I knew it would be there. So I'll be 40 next month. I've heard this story a lot of times every year, and then you hear it on the radio. You hear it multiple times at Christmas season, so it can get to be kind of boring. But then Joey's like, "No, you guys, you need to remember about this story," and he did it a little bit different and made it a little bit better. So I want to back up like a little bit of this story. In the last few weeks, for 3 weeks, we've talked about all these different predictions or prophecies about this coming Messiah. From that he was going to be the seed of Eve, and it didn't talk about a man, so it's going to be God. Then he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and he was going to start his ministry in Galilee, and just all these different prophecies about this coming Messiah. So their anticipation about this guy was just like through the roof. They wanted this guy that was going to come in and save them from their sins, and all these different things. So it was like this big thing for this Savior, for this Messiah to be born. And they were ready, like they were anticipating for him to get here, and they were looking forward to the day whenever he would finally arrive, and then he's going to grow up and he's going to lead them away from these Romans, and they could look out and say, "Look at us, we're the chosen people," and it was going to be a really cool thing, like "Told you so," is what they were looking for. But then here's this Savior that's born into a manger there, and so it was like this big anticipated event. They were really, really, really looking forward to this. And if we go back to the marriage series that we had before this one, where we were talking about marriage, we can remember the anticipation we talk about leading up to the wedding ceremony, right? You get engaged and you're looking forward, you're planning this wedding and all these things are going to happen. Two different sides of everything, like the guy's looking forward to the wedding night and then every single night after that. And then the lady, she's looking forward to the wedding and being in her white dress, and she's looking forward to walking down that aisle and seeing her groom down there and all the flowers and all the pictures and all the parts of the wedding that I didn't enjoy so much. So there's like big anticipation though, right? And then finally the day arrives. Everybody gets ready. She puts on her white dress. The groom, he puts on his tuxedo that's uncomfortable and wears it up there at the front. He's standing there. He's got his best friends over here, and her friends are over there. And then finally that moment comes where the door's open, and there she is. There's his bride. And so you've anticipated and waited for this time, and then there it is. So it's kind of like that with this story of Jesus. They were looking forward for thousands of years to whenever this Messiah would finally be there. And then suddenly, right here in Luke, we read about the birth of this Savior that was going to be coming, that's going to save the world. So this is like a big deal that we're reading about here in this chapter of Luke. So now I want to look at this whole story again. I'm going to read it again to drill it in. We're going to try to think about this a little bit differently, and then I'm going to give you guys some more information that's really cool about this story, but I want to do it again. And I had it like really planned out, y'all. Like I was going to like have Patrick play some really cool instrumental Christmas music so it's in the background, and then I could read this and be really cool. And then the internet went out just whenever I was trying to do that, so I was unable to download any cool Christmas music. So you guys just kind of like hum songs, and no, I'm kidding, you don't have to do that. So we're going to go here into Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 26. So here's the birth of Jesus foretold again 6 months after Elizabeth had the birth of John. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So remember back to our prophecies where Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And that's where he's going to be, and also born to a virgin, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" She's confused, right? And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, and he will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That's like a big deal, right? Like an angel appearing in front of her and talking to her. That's cool. So now we're going to jump up to Luke 2 again. And I start at verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Remember, we talked in the prophecies that this was like the first time that this was happening, that called them to Bethlehem to be born, because they weren't from there. And it was a cool thing how God worked that out to make it to where Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, just like the prophecy said. He's faithful, right? Yeah. So, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, right there around there, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." And remember this part here. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It's going to be important here in a minute. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So, it's like, if all of these prophecies that we talked about in the last 3 weeks, every single one of them, and we talked about the numbers, and it was up in the billions for the possibilities, for the probabilities of how one man could fulfill these, and then he fulfilled 300, if that's not enough, if the virgin birth isn't enough for us to, if these angels that came and spoke to Elizabeth and spoke to Mary isn't enough, there's another really cool part of this story. It's not just the prophecies. The prophecies make this really cool to me because we can see that things written so far back talked about this Messiah so far forward, and then finally it comes to fruition, like it's there, it happens, and then he starts to grow up and fulfill all these different prophecies. But something else about this story that I found interesting, and I wanted to share with you guys so that you would have it, you can look into it, it gives you something new about this story, is that whenever Mary and Joseph were traveling and they were getting ready to go to this census and they show up there in Bethlehem, he was going back to where his family's at, right? It wasn't like they're going to this, you know, place where there's not going to be anybody that they know. Like, his family is from this area, and this the inn wasn't, you know, we think of it like a hotel, and they're scurrying about and they're knocking on doors, and then they get to the hotel and there's no room for them, but they're like, hey, you can go to the stables out back and those filthy things and have your baby there. That's like the picture that we've been told and how we think about that. And that's unfortunate, because what I kind of learned in my trip over there to Israel is a different perspective that I want to kind of share, that whenever he went over there, he was going there where family was at. They would have put them up in this inn that we're thinking about. It's not like a hotel. It was like a gathering place for the family. So they had this area, and it's the same area where Boaz and Ruth had been, the threshing floor, and there's a lot of history at this location where this area is, and there were some rooms off on that, but then there were these stables that were by there, and these stables were probably ceremoniously clean because they use, let me get over here to the shepherds. These shepherds, they were out in the field that night. They're not just your regular old shepherds that's out there with a bunch of sheep on the side of a hill, and they're, you know, got their big stick, and they're sitting out there, and they're just guiding sheep around. These particular shepherds were the shepherds that took care of the sheep for the temple, where for the lambs that were going to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. So they were caring for these special lambs also that were, again, they were the ones that were going to be taken to slaughter to the temple for the sins of the people. So whenever one of these sheep were going to give birth, these shepherds would take them to this ceremonious stable thing, and it would be the lamb would be born, and it's unblemished. And so they would wrap this lamb in like swaddling cloths. They would wrap it up in clean cloths, and then they would set it down in this manger in some clean hay where it was kind of bound up and it couldn't move around and get itself hurt and end up with blemishes on it. They didn't want this thing to be blemished, or else it would be unusable by the temple. So this sheep was swaddled in cloth and used and then laid in the manger. So whenever they go out to this area, to the stable, it was more than likely a clean area. And it wasn't like what we picture with, you know, donkeys everywhere and chickens and whatever else they have out there. It was more than likely a clean area. So whenever the angel came and told the shepherds, here's going to be a sign for you guys. This baby, a baby, not a lamb, is going to be wrapped in swaddling cloth, and it's going to be laid in a manger, the shepherd's mind would have went, oh. So this baby, like what we do the little unblemished lambs to take care of them before they go to be sacrificed for the sins of the people, there's going to be a baby there wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid down in this manger. That's neat to me to think about, and that makes the story have a different meaning almost, that that the shepherds would have recognized that. So it was a sign when they got there and found this baby wrapped up instead of like a lamb. It was a baby, so that's kind of cool. And they had a way maybe of, and it didn't talk about that, a way maybe to relate that and look to what Jesus was as they were talking about him, to understand that he was the lamb that was going to be sent off to slaughter. So I find that kind of fascinating, and it's like really, really, really cool to think about how that could be. So the kind of the takeaway for today, and the thing to think about most, I think, from all this, I've given you guys a lot of information leading up all these prophecies and this apologetic material that we can say that and look at and go, this is why I believe that Jesus is who Jesus said that he is. This is why I believe that God is faithful. This is why I believe in the entirety of this book. So this year, whenever you celebrate Christmas and whenever you're telling the Christmas story, and Christmas is in the future, I learned about this kind of last year, and I got to bring some of that into the message last year and learn some more, and I just love talking about that because it's cool. But there's like real significance to this story, to this birth of Jesus after thousands of years and the anticipation that was built up to where he's finally, right here, he's born. The Son of God is born and laid out into a manger. And that was like the beginnings of this Savior that's going to go and live this perfect life, and he's going to minister to all those that he comes in contact with. He's going to go to the cross, and he's going to die for the sins of the people that trust him. But this is where we first hear about his human birth. Like, Jesus existed since the beginning. There's plenty of scripture there, but this is when he was born into flesh, the beginning of that. So whenever we celebrate Christmas, and we got all the cool things, and you hear all these people talk about all the pagan followings and things that we've got with the tree and the gift exchanges and all these things, but I don't let any of that junk mess with my mind, because I am celebrating the birth of the risen Savior, his birthday. And I said in the first message that I would talk about why I don't believe he was born on December 25th. Whenever you hear about the shepherds, they probably wouldn't have been out in mid-December out in the cold, and we may have heard about more things. They probably would have had the sheep penned up, and there's history and things talked about that if they counted back the year, you know, he may have been born in like April or September, and there's just all these different things. But what I know for sure is that December 25th, each and every year, I celebrate Christmas because that is the birth of Jesus. That's what I'm celebrating. I'm not celebrating the Christmas tree. I could live without that. I'm not celebrating the gifts. You know, there's all these different things, but I'm celebrating the birth of this Messiah. And I'm celebrating that's the reason for my hope for all of eternity, the reason for my love, for my family, for people, for you guys. And all that was born in the flesh right here in this Christmas story. So whenever we read that in the future, try to think about all that anticipation that built up to the story and why this is like a really, really, really big deal right here in Luke. And it also talks about it some in Matthew, but you know, not quite as cool. So whenever we have all these different things and the lights and the trees and the big expenses and sometimes debt and all these things can be kind of an overwhelming part of Christmas, we need to remember that this is a celebration of that long anticipated and awaited Messiah that was going to be born sometime. And finally, he's there. And through everything that he went through, including his death, he still rose again, and he's alive right now today, and he loves his people. He says in John 3:16 that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He was born that day to save the world, and we just have to trust him that's what he came for. That was his purpose. All these prophecies that led up to his birth, when he finally got here, that was his purpose, was to reconcile us to God. It's a big deal that he was born, and that we get to read about that and see all the prophecies beginning to be fulfilled. If there's like anybody here that doesn't really understand all of that, I would love to talk to you guys about that, or any of the leadership of the church or friends that are believers would love to talk to you and share the Jesus that we know with you. But I want to go ahead and just pray and thank God for sending his son the way that he did. I want to thank him that Jesus was born in Bethlehem just like what he said that he was, that he was faithful in that everything he said came true. And because of Jesus, because of his birth, we can have hope in eternity And it's fascinating to me. This stuff is awesome. And Jesus completely and totally changed my life because he was born, because he died, and because he rose again. And it's just awesome to me. So you guys would, let's just bow our heads and let's just be thankful this Christmas season for Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. God, you are awesome. You are everything holy. You are so righteous. You are so faithful. God, what you planted into your prophets' minds that they were able to speak, that they were able to write about for us, every bit of it came true. And that is awesome. God, help us to recognize the fullness of your son's birth, that he was born to a virgin, that he was fully God, that he was fully human, and he was born right there, and Luke talks about it. We thank you for the sign that he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes, just like the sacrificial lambs were, that he was laid there in a manger just like they were, and that your angels came and told the shepherds about that, and that they found him there. Yet one more prophecy that wasn't that far off that came true, that he was there. God, help us to live our lives just loving you, that we can recognize how big you are, how great you are, how much you love us. God, we just ask that you would give us the love that Jesus had throughout his earthly years and the love that he still has today. God, we just ask you to continually come into our lives and fill us up with the living water. God, as we close out 2015 coming up, we just, we're grateful. We honor you. We want to live lives that honor you. We want to love the way that you love. God, as we go through this week and we're anticipating Christmas days, our kids are getting anxious and awaiting Christmas morning when they get to open up those gifts and enjoy that. Just help us to lead our families in such a way that we point back to your son's birth and that we recognize that that is what Christmas is all about. Help us to make it about loving our family, time with our family, loving our children enough to share Jesus with them all the time, to live our lives in such a way that look like you do. God, we know we're going to fail. Man, are we going to fail? But we just ask you to help us, to turn to you through the temptations and to just get through every day and share the hope of Jesus that was born in Bethlehem on that morning. God, thank you so much. We ask for all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.